We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
Who died after her car entered a retention pond in eastern Shelby County was intoxicated at the time, and her death was ruled accidental, authorities said on Monday. Abigail Warren says this ends questions about tainted beverages in Collierville restaurants.
The investigation started after the February 28th accident. Kristen Fundo, a teacher at Christ Methodist Day School, was found dead in her car, fully submerged, in a pond outside the suburb's limits. A friend of hers accused Casa Mexicana of drink tampering and linked that to her possible cause of death, leading to an investigation by law enforcement. Collierville Police Chief Dale Lane said the investigation showed no unusual activity. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Abigail Warren.
The SOAP Project, a free culinary training program for unemployed and underemployed Memphians, is reshaping what job readiness looks like in the food and hospitality industry. Kristen Yates says the program was founded by longtime chef and restaurateur Ben Vaughn.
The program combines hands-on culinary education with mentorship, financial literacy, and job placement support, creating pathways for people who may never have seen themselves in a professional kitchen. The SOAP Project has helped more than 70 students gain employment, many of whom had never held a job before. Graduates have gone on to earn an average of $18 an hour in kitchens and food service roles across Memphis. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Kristen Yates.
More on these stories and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
But I just can't win. wish I never was born. Talking about teardrops. Nobody, nobody knows. Talking about lonely nights. I've had more than my share. Just ain't fair. Just ain't fair.
Oh, happy, 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 y'all, to everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice. You know what you're listening to, right? 91.7 Raised by the Sound. We are WYXR, and I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Let's have a talk, y'all. And y'all know each and every Wednesday you can catch me right here at noon talking to incredible people that are absolutely doing the work in our community. And I'm super excited about today's show because I have individuals that is really working extremely hard to be a blessing to young people. And let me tell you something, that's a work in itself. And then you also have somebody that's keeping the name and the dream alive of so many people that have went on, as we say, to be with the good Lord, but their legacy and their work continue to lead and to continue to be here today. And so right now I am so proud of all the work that I've seen that's been done in our city and all the things that our people are doing to make our city a greater city. And so today I have an amazing young lady in today. Y'all, she's keeping the name alive of the one, the Joan Egold. Many of us that know, we grew up on WLOK hearing the Golden Girl, right? And I just love how she's working extremely hard to make sure she keep this annual event up, and she's keep increasing her work for what she wants to do to keep the name alive in a scholarship. And so will you welcome with me to the Let's Have a Talk with Talisa, the one, the only, Tamara Shepherd. Hey, honey.
How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing well, Dr. Franklin. And thank you for this opportunity today to be on your show.
Well, you know, I'm excited. I always like to be in your presence. Our relationship goes back a long time, right?
Amen.
And it's just ever since I've known you, you've been the same. So let's just dive in and talk about this Joan E. W. Golden, a scholarship event that you do every year. And why do you even do it?
Amen. Well, I worked with Miss Golden for about 16 years at WLOK. I was sales and marketing, and of course, you know, she was on-air personality.
Yes.
So she did a lot of live remotes, something that you don't see a lot of today.
Right.
But she had a drawing card. I mean, she say, come, the people came.
Yeah.
And so I worked with her almost every Saturday, at least two Saturdays a month, where we would go to different places. And I got a chance to watch her. I got a chance to see how she engaged with people.
Yeah.
And how she was a woman of prayer, and she was a woman that loved to help people.
Yeah.
And so after her demise and so forth, I thought to myself, I said, this woman did so much, because she was at almost every pastor anniversary. They invited her for Women's Day, Men's Day, and emceed those programs. Many times they paid her for what her talent was worth. Many times they gave her tips. And many times she did it for thank you.
Yeah.
And when I saw her heart, how she loved ministry, that money didn't control her, and that she wanted to be there for mm-hmm. people, and saw how she worked with youth. When I started working nonprofit, I thought it's more than fitting to do a scholarship event in her memory.
Yeah.
And so God have blessed us, Dr. Franklin. Our first 2 years, we jumped out there with four scholarships. In 2023,
yeah.
And we did four 1,000 scholarships, but God put on our hearts, oh, we got to step our game up.
Come on, let's go higher, let's go
yeah,
higher.
Yeah, we had to step our game up, so we're doing this year 10 $1,000 scholarships to some underserved high school graduates at the recommendation of their high school counselor.
Oh, wow.
And so these dollars are for personal expenses, because when I went to school, and I'm going to date myself, In 1978, when I left going to college, I couldn't call home for $50.
Yeah.
Because I knew that they didn't have it. So I had to figure it out, and God helped me to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't want the children to have to figure it out, because I knew many students, they dropped out because, you know, they had needs and they couldn't supply, family yeah. couldn't help, and so forth. But it should never be that way, because if a child is excited about furthering their education and going on to 4-year, I think all of us, if we can,
yeah.
we should help them and encourage them.
Absolutely.
Yes, with our time, big pastor used to say, with my time, my talent, and with my money.
Come on, with your money, baby, with your money. But when you think about, you guys have a nonprofit that's called Children of the Kingdom.
Right.
And so you're the organization that puts on this fundraiser. But kind of tell me a little bit about Children of the Kingdom, because truly this is a kingdom effort in what you're doing today.
It is. And we've been around for a long time, but you know, most grassroots organization nonprofits, you know, we don't have the access to a lot of dollars, and sometimes we don't even have the whereabout or the know-how in order to do a lot of stuff
yeah.
too. But it's more prevalent now, because we know there are grants out there. Many of those grants are very particular about what they want. So, but in the same token, you know, we have been very fortunate that people in our circle that we know support us.
Yeah.
And that's how we get the dollars for what we're doing this year, and did last year and year before last.
Yeah.
And I'm just proud of the fact that that I have been able to, and we have been able to, just to tell what we're trying to do, and people say, I want to help.
Absolutely. And I always tell people, when I think about people likes of Joni W. Golden and Delsa Finley, these young ladies, I'm standing on their shoulders,
yes.
right? I couldn't do what I do if they didn't do what they did,
right?
To open up doors for women, especially black girls,
right?
To be behind this mic, to use our talent. And for what you're doing, I would hope and pray that when the Lord called me home, you know, God, I want to go home after 100, right? when I called somebody to say, I'm going to pick up the torch and keep that thing that Dr. Franklin was doing,
right.
was giving and serving and loving
yes.
the people, right? And so the no good works is not seen, you know, unseen.
Right.
And so I'm super grateful. So let's talk about what is, because you've done this for a few years, and I think I've been knowing about it every year, because we always talk about
right.
it, and I've seen your growth in it. But what should somebody expect when they come to this event, honoring and also scholarships for the people that's getting scholarships in Joni W. Golden's name? What can they expect?
Well, if you allow me to say this, Dr. Franklin.
Absolutely.
First of all, you're going to find church.
Yeah, church. Church, baby. We going to church.
So we have some amazing singers. As most of us know, there are people who can sing Aretha under the sink,
yeah.
you know, but they didn't get that opportunity to get the name and get, you know, and so forth. But these singers are very, very talented.
Yes.
And so we have been partnering with Overton High School, and
yeah.
everybody that know anything about the Overton High School, they should be on Broadway, or they should be on stage.
Yeah.
They should be backing up somebody, because they are very talented, and many of our other talents when they come and sing. So we make a big hoopla about the mini concert.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, you know, we highlight the students.
Yeah.
And they get to say a little something to us about their dreams and aspirations, you know, for going to college. And we're hoping that year five, maybe we can do like a remembrance program and bring some of those students back that have
yeah.
received the Golden Girls Scholarship.
Right, because by that time, they'll have their bachelor's degree.
They should.
And be working on their master's. So, yeah.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
So
I love it. Where is this event going to be held? How can people make sure they put it on their calendar and be there?
Right, right. Well, everybody that knows Pentecostal Temple Church of God in Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was Miss Golden's home church. And it's right down the street from FedEx Forum. And of course, as part of what we call the mother church, for Koji. But we saw fitting that because it was her home church, to do the event there. And of course, it's May 3rd. It's at 5 p.m. And so for all of those like myself want to get in before dark, you'll have time to be at home.
I love it. And it's absolutely what?
Free.
Free. Did y'all hear it? Free admission. But listen, just because it's free, I'm challenging you to bring a donation because we know what Ms. Shepherd is doing and we know what the organization is really doing to make a difference in the lives of so many others. And especially, y'all, she went big. You went bigger with your you going home. She went from 4 scholarships to this year 10 scholarships. So you giving out 10 grand. You know I can count some dollars and cents, right? Cents and dollars I can count.
Right.
So you giving out 10 grand to 10 deserving students.
Yes.
And I love the fact that you're letting the guidance counselors choose them because they really know the heart.
They know.
And they know the needs because we have children that is in our educational system. Unfortunately, they're unhoused. They may be with their parents, their grandparents, and they're really seeing challenges, but they want to do more.
Right.
And so I love that, you know, for your organization, Children of the Kingdom are being that community that they need to not just survive, but to thrive.
That's it.
Tell people before we wrap up today, how can people stay connected to all things Children of the Kingdom? How they can stay connected to you and all that good stuff?
Amen. So, Children of the Kingdom, we do many of our outreach through the church that we attend, which is Fireside Temple, Church of God in Christ. And then, of course, in the community, we're housing Parkway Village. But, you know, we're not putting a border or a boundary because we want to help children everywhere.
Yeah.
And the main purpose of our organization, Children of the Kingdom, is try to get to help with the mindset to prevent them from going into drugs and going into teen pregnancy and crime and prison. You know, we see that so much. And many of these children and young people are extremely talented and smart. And I always say this, just because a person doesn't go to college doesn't mean they couldn't have gone.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm thankful for, and my heart has gone out because when I was a teenager, my parents, my grandparents, you had two options. You go to work or either you go to school. And because I was lazy, I went to school. But I'm so glad that I went to school because it opened so many doors for me. It didn't say so much that I was so smart. You know, Paula White always talk about I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But, you know, I wasn't either. But I say this, you can do it if you want to do it. And if you do it and you don't quit, you'll get what you went for.
Absolutely. You got to understand, a friend of mine has a new slogan. It has don't quit, but it has the striking out of the letters and it says do it, right? I was like, ooh, I like that. Do it, baby. Because you may see don't quit, but you got to understand the red mark.
Right.
You mean do it. Right. And you didn't never stop doing it. Again, thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing. Listen, I want to challenge the people to join the 3rd annual Joan E. W. Golden Scholarship Event presented by Children of the Kingdom Ministries happening on Sunday, May 3rd at 5 p.m. at Pentecostal Temple Church of God in Christ, 229 South Danny Thomas. And the admission is free, baby. And for more information, reach out to Tamara. Her number is 901-652-3545. 901-652-3545. And let's make sure we support an event that is doing great work for a woman of God that has celebrated people all her life, making sure. And just like Tamara said, sometimes when you in this mic, you may get paid, you may not get paid, and maybe you may get a thank you. And sometimes you only get a thank you. But we don't do it for man's glory. We do it for God's glory. And so I'm just super grateful to have you. Anything that I forgot?
Well, I just like to say in the words, if you remember Joni W. Golden, you'll be glad you did.
I love it. Y'all, listen, that was amazing. Make sure you stay tuned. We have another organization that is doing scholarships. I'm telling you, our children have the best opportunities ever, all because we all are working toward that goal to make sure our children are right. I am your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. Keep it locked right here to 91.7, where we're raised by the sound, WYXR, the best radio station this side of heaven in Crosstown Concourse. I'll be right back with my next guest.
WYXR Memphis.
Oh yeah, y'all know we are doing the things in Memphis to transform our community, and we have true, and I say true, y'all, we got some true transformers in our city of Memphis that is doing great work, and I'm super excited to have two amazing men in the studio with me today that is really doing great work and is really making sure people are not just seen, but they're heard, and making sure that everybody get what they need to be successful. And I'm telling you, anytime my dear brother, my dear friend, you know, I call him Drew McCraven, but you know, his real name is Andrew. But he drew to me, baby. He drew me in, baby. And I ain't never going back no more. No more, no more, no more, no more. I ain't going back no more, baby. Drew stuck with me for life, baby. We're going to be 100 years old, still looking good, having fun, y'all.
In that order.
In that order, don't play.
Yes, ma'am.
And then, y'all, now he gave me a new man in here, y'all, so I'm feeling his love, too. I feel his energy, you know, good energy just feels good. It's some energy in this studio.
Yes.
That's worth keeping, yes, all right? I know y'all can feel it through the airways. Listen, let me go ahead and tell y'all what we got going on that's happening actually this weekend, y'all. Let me tell you, it's the Mary E. Demp Scholarship Fund is excited to announce the Mary E. Demp Scholarship Fund Golf Classic 2025 that's taking place on April 26th at the Links at Pine Hill, located at 930 East Mallory Avenue. This event aims to raise funds to support pursuing higher education at, you already know I love, HBCU, baby.
Yes.
Baby, honey, don't play no. HBCU, that's the way to go. Through scholarships, the participants will enjoy a day of golf, networking, and community spirit, all while contributing to a worthy cause. There's going to be tournament prizes. Even you may win a trip to Pebble Beach, along with a five-night stay. Listen, let me go ahead and get all in this, because it is imperative. You guys know how important this event is to our community, and especially we know that this event is doing what is helping our HBCU. Shout out to Memphis Zone LOC, and shout out to Ina Bitty, Mississippi Valley, baby. All right, I'm just saying. I just got to say it, you know.
Yeah.
Drew, what's up, boy?
Hey, my sister. You know I love you.
I love you too.
I love your energy, and it's always great to be in your presence. And I guess we have become in habit of connecting with each other, and particularly when it comes to our community and how we love our community. I mean, and not to mention you created the segue even before we sat in these chairs and talking about the scholarship fund. So definitely Joan B. Golden. I do remember her very well, as a matter of fact, from WLOK. And she is still, rest her soul, God, but she is still the queen of radio, because she came before you guys and created such a great path for women on radio. And I tell you that interview you did at first was great. And now we're preparing ourselves for a great weekend with the Mary E. Demps Scholarship Fund Golf Classic at the Links at Pine Hill. I got my guy here, J. Vincent Demps.
Yeah.
He is the founder. And, you know, one thing that I've noticed in just since I've connected with J. Vincent is that he has a passion, particularly when it comes to youth and being a provider. You know, God is our provider, Jehovah Jireh, right?
Yeah.
You guys are in part. Well, all of us, I guess, we are providers to what we need to put in our communities. And so being able to work with him in creating this great event that he's created over the last 4 years, and being able to provide scholarship funds to youth that are attending HBCUs. So I just want to say, man, my hat's off to you, J. Vincent.
Thank you.
Because I really appreciate having the opportunity to work with you. And let me tell you, man, you need to tell them why they need to actually come out and support this event. Even if it's just a matter of giving a donation, you know. And let me tell you, now all donations are actually tax exempt. So to the listeners out there, if they can't make it to the golf course, then of course they can still make a donation. I'm excited.
Hey, come on, Jay. You got to tell us all about it. Talk to us. Talk to us. Let's have a talk, baby. Talk to us.
Well, Drew covered it. I mean, we've got our golf event, the fourth annual one, is coming up this Saturday. 7 a.m. is registration, 8 a.m. tee time. Raising money for students going to HBCUs. We've been fortunate enough over the last 4 years to provide scholarships to students at Tennessee State, FIS, FAMU, Howard.
Mississippi Valley.
No Mississippi Valley yet.
Oh, shucks, now. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, you saved yourself.
Yeah, he's saved. Okay. No Mississippi Valley yet.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to chat out.
But, you know, me myself, I'm a Fisk alum, of course. Okay. Went to Fisk University. I am the president of Memphis Fisk Alumni Association here, treasurer class of 91, member of GAFU, so just I'm Fisk all day.
Uh-huh. And did y'all hear he was a treasure, so he can be trusted with money, y'all.
Yeah.
So if a man can be trusted with money, he gonna make sure the money get where they need to be.
Yes.
So Jay or Drew, tell me, how was this organization funded? And, you know, I'm always asking people, why Memphis? Mm-hmm.
Jay.
Well, for me, so I'm originally from New York, born and raised in Harlem. Over the years, prior to my golf event, I used to always attend AC's golf event.
Okay.
And I connected with Jackie Watkins.
Okay.
I know Jackie for a long time. And when I decided to start mine, we originally started from the very first one here in Memphis.
Okay.
Of course, we moved here a couple of years ago, so now we're here, you know, physically even here. But my mom was a big proponent for HBCUs.
Okay.
So when I graduated, I was headed to college. I had a lot on the list, but she gave me two. She said, you can choose between this school or Fisk. And it became Fisk, and she's just been a huge proponent in our family in terms of directing people to HBCU. So my mom, she had a real bad stroke in 2014, struggled for a couple of years to keep her alive. She passed in 2016.
Yeah.
But I was just looking for a way to honor her
name
and continue to, you know, to build off of that.
Yeah, I tell people, anybody know me, I have a son, right? And he's truly my sunshine. But he is such an amazing son. But it's nothing like a son, how y'all can love on y'all mom.
Yes.
And even I've seen men that mom has crossed over, and I'm sitting here, I can still feel the love that you have for your mama, right?
Yeah.
Even if she may not be physically here, but everything she taught you, even when you didn't understand it, you know mama was always right?
I understand it now.
You understand it. You know, my boys, so many people know I raised my brothers, and I put them, they went to Mississippi Valley, right? They got their master's there. And I would tell them, I said, you can learn a lot from a dummy, right? And they was like, man, sus, you just be tripping, sus, all right? But then I'm seeing how they're, you know, now they're grown, they got their children, and they're like, man, some of that stuff, sus was talking about it. I said, no, not some of it, all of it was right? And so I can just feel the love and the energy of what you bring. But let's talk about Your mom gave you great options, and now you came back to keep her name alive, to help other young people that maybe didn't have a mom or somebody that can lead them in the right way. And to see a strong black man, I think that's imperative. But let's talk about, how are you selecting the students that who's awarded the scholarships to your school? How do you select children?
A lot of times with the scholarships, we have a relationship with a organization that's trying to get more minorities into physical therapy.
Okay.
So they donate a certain amount of money. And of course, those individuals. So we've got two different scholarships. You can go to the website, click download, mm-hmm. two different versions there, and apply for that scholarship. But then a lot of times with just the general scholarship, it's really based off of our board. So if you look at our board, we've got several HBCU alums. Everybody has, you know, we've got doctors, we've got lawyers, we've got people in the dental industry, mm-hmm. We've got business individuals. So though, really, it's just genuinely open.
Yeah.
And then we look, we take the application, we look at it, we get to have your recommendation letters, we kind of compare them up. And a lot of it is based off of the funds that we raise.
Gotcha.
So I'm typically not a person that, you know, you go out, hey, boom, you raise, let's say $50,000.
Yeah.
My mindset would say, okay, well, let's give 50 children $1,000 versus giving somebody, you know, two children, 25,000. You want to touch as many lives as possible.
Come on. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. And I love that, because sometimes I have seen that. I was like, man, you could have broke that money up and did more with it. Even when I see grant funding from a corporate sector or from a nonprofit, you gave this nonprofit $100,000, but we're saying that our community is having challenges. But what if you would have gave $10,000 nonprofits that's really doing the work, mm-hmm. that will make a change? Because an average nonprofit that got $1 million in expenses, they not gonna touch as many as that person ain't got no money, and they got $10,000. They'll take care of a lot of children.
And also with us, you know, I know from being involved, you know what I'm saying, with the university, we give that scholarship money directly to the student. Because a lot of times, if it runs through the university, it's coming from whatever the packet is.
Uh-huh.
So let's say we gave them $2,000, hypothetically. Now that's $2,000 outside of their packet. They're going to say, okay, well, you had 20. Okay, here's 18.
Yeah.
Put their two in there. Now there's your 20.
Right.
So we give it directly to the student. They can utilize it for books or whatever they may need.
And I want us to kind of, let's talk about this and have conversation on this. Because a lot of parents that are dealing with first generation college, they don't understand that, right?
Yeah.
And so you hear people say, oh, my baby got this much money. Okay, baby, let's talk about it. And so I always tell my children, who give me the most money? That's the school you're finna go to, right? Because if you don't have no money, I don't care if they are giving you this amount of money, but if you still got to pay for room and board, if your mama barely making $15,000 a year, she can't afford this.
Yeah, true.
And your chances of dropping out are
high.
Very high.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, how do you help, with you being an astute black man, how do you speak to other black brothers and help them understand that piece? Because sometimes they, I'm playing basketball and they don't give me a basketball scholarship. But let's talk about the other stuff. Are they going to take care of your books? Are they going to take care of this? So kind of help us with that.
Well, a lot of times, you know, it's about whether or not that person is willing to receive it. So I'll give my godson as an excellent example. So he's in his 30s now. He's got his own boutique firm. But when he came to me years ago when I was working at the firm, he was 16. One of the kids in the program stuck with me. I'll never forget, he had a full ride to a university, but he was just stuck on going to Hampton. You know, and I remember us having that debate. I was like, okay, well, this is what's gonna cost you. This you got a full ride over here. You wanna be a lawyer. Hey, take this president's scholarship, take that money. Then, you know, if it's some debt, then you can get it on the law school side.
Yeah.
But now you're gonna get it on both sides. So it's just really, you know, taking that time and explaining to them, but, you know, if they're willing to receive it. A lot of times people aren't willing to receive it. And they kind of learn the hard way.
I remember my son graduated from high school last year. And when he graduated from high school last year, that, you know, my boy's like, okay, he going to Valley, right, sis? And he said, Mom, I'm going to take this free money for the state of Tennessee for 2 years, and I'm going to save some money. Then I'm going to transfer. And so my boy's like, well, you didn't. I said, baby, they didn't have this option when y'all were going. Because if it did, y'all would have got this 2 years too, right? But I was just so happy that he was strong enough to make his own decision. And he kept saying, you know, some of his other friends like, man, I'm going here. He said, I'm going where it makes sense. It's 2 years free. I can still live at home with my mama and get all the benefits. And now he's in college, got his own insurance agency right now and doing his own business, but he's getting what he needs, and he don't have all this overhead and debt.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's you know, really what's important. I mean, you have to look at that a lot of times. I mean, you know, even with our own children.
Yeah.
You know, I can look at my son and I was like, okay, well, just how he's moving, especially during a situation like COVID when they're working from home, which was kind of like college.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, community college first and then, you know.
Right.
We got to test it out here before we start writing checks then.
And I think you know, parents, don't be so into saying my child has to go to my alumni, right? If they're giving out some free money, free 2 years, take those 2 years and help develop your son or your daughter. And don't be so in the hype. Because like right now, we're going to see in the next month, we're going to see a hype of everybody want to be talking about what son might... Baby, you paying for this, right? So him going off or her going off, can you afford to hit that road? I know I was in a season, I mean, I was raising my brothers and I was struggling, really. But I wanted better for them. And I remember hitting that road going down to Mississippi. It was challenging some days, you know? And so now they look at it and say, man, thank you for the sacrifice. It was a sacrifice, right? But a lot of times we so have to say, oh, my child's going this school and this school. And then sometimes tell us the difference too. I know my attitude about it, but some days it's not the best. The difference of the PWIs and the HBCUs, because a lot of times I've seen people devalue an HBCU experience. There's nothing like an HBCU experience. Ain't nothing like it, right? And some of our PWIs, they have beautiful cafeterias. Baby, in HBCU, you just glad you get some food.
And it requires you to kind of grow up faster. So I was fortunate. I skipped from the 6th to the 8th, 8th to the 10th. So I was 16 when I got to 5th. So I'm, you know, young, a lot younger than the other guys, so I had to mature a lot quicker. But it requires you to, you know, I went through my own registration when people were there with their parents. So, of course, you know, by my sophomore, junior year, you know, like riding a bike. But, it you know, a lot of things you have to kind of, you know, mature faster. You got to, you know, and it helps you on the back end. I know so many people now, you know, I've had some people that were talking to me about, you know, their students, their children who are going to HBCUs, and they're like, you know, it's just different. And I was like, yeah, you know, people to meet me and say, you know, like your level of confidence. I was like, oh yeah, you know, once they come out, you know, I know some people graduating from HBCUs now and how they glowingly talk about their child. I was like, oh yeah, they're ready for the world. You know what I'm saying? Because they've met all those challenges, a lot of those challenges in college, which require you to figure it out.
Ain't nobody giving it to you. You know, I always miss what I have. Friends of mine that's Morehouse men, right? I said, I don't care what, it's something about a Morehouse man. A Morehouse man ain't gonna let you touch no door. I said, I don't know what y'all was eating in Morehouse, but eat some more of it. Eat some more. Because I'm telling you, a Morehouse man just do it. I'm like, they best touch y'all inside y'all shoes, because y'all shoes ain't never dusty, right? It's a Morehouse man, right? But there's something that even when we're going back to homecoming, it just feels good. That when you love and you hug people, man, you be feeling that love. And you be like, man, you made it. We made it. And those stories of how we overcame every challenge in life, right? And so here you are making sure that if you, and I pray you raise $50,000, $100,000, if you raise $50,000, that $1,000 to an HBCU student is just like $1 million. When they don't have it.
And they have the ability to, like I said, use it for whatever they need. You get a laptop with it, you want to get my books with it. You know, whatever it is you want to do with that money.
And they might just need a little car. I mean, because you think about it, many of our kids, and some of them at HBCUs, some of their parents are not so well off, right? And so any little money, like when my boy was in school, I would make sure I was paying some phone bills for other little boys that was in their frat that I knew didn't have no money, right? And to this day, they like, man, I never forget you. And some of them are doing extremely well now, like, but I just knew they had a need, right? And then when they would come home, everybody came to my house because I love to have a lot of folk, right? My friend called me Mother Hen, right? Mother Hen wrote all the kids at the house. But I remember, you know, I can make a big pot of spaghetti and everybody eat. But some of those kids ain't had a home cooked meal. They ain't had nobody's love on them. Said, boy, you gonna make it. Because all the odds are stacked up against you. And for me, I know what it felt, what the HBCU experience did for my boys. It made them an amazing man.
And you have life memberships. I've got some friends here from Memphis. You know, I never forget coming from New York, meeting, you know, people from Memphis. My boy Fred, first person I ever met. But 35 years, you know, it's just, you know, it's that relationship is deep. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing that you wouldn't do for that person because you've been to school together. You guys have struggled together. Mm-hmm. You've come together, you know, to reach that plateau.
Absolutely. I know, you know, even like now my boys that get married and at the weddings, I'm like, man, I feel like I'm super old now. Yeah. Right? And then they come, they're like, see my baby? What the world is going on? But that's an experience, right? Yeah. And Drew, I love how you rock. You proudly rocks your HBCU golf hat, but I just love how you represent the culture. Yes. Kind of you talk about what does it mean? I know, because this ain't just a PR gig for you. Right. This is a movement. This is, you're really changing and transforming lives, using your voice and relationships to help move the needle of this. Kind of talk about that.
Well, you know, I look at it as I was listening to you talk about your brothers and your son and the same with Jay, what he's doing. You guys are, all of us, we're seed planters. You know, and the difference in being a seed planter and then somebody just saying, here you go, you know, we're committed to making a difference in the lives of the youth in our community. So when I look at the heritage, I went to trade school, and so I didn't go to HBCU, but when I know a lot of different of my associates and friends have gone there, and not only that, I've done events, you know, just over the years that involve that and involve giving scholarships to students, you know, to attend HBCUs as well. So when I look at the full scope of it and the heritage, what happens is that we take responsibility as part of the village. Mm-hmm. So and there's a commitment, there's a standing commitment through our life to do whatever we can do to provide for the youth in our community. And not only that, but we have to be about change, because when you look at society, when you look at culture as it is right now, it is at a limited capacity based on what we have to look at and what revolves around our communities and how some that care and some that don't care. And probably the ones that don't care are the ones that try to keep us from being those seed planters. Mm. So I think that we have to continue to stand on that foundation of being seed planters in our community. And the greatest thing about that is when you can see growth. Mm-hmm. When you can see growth, as you talk about your brothers, as Jay talk about the youth that he's already provided scholarships to, that is the thing that's important. And you know something? We are responsible for taking the culture and expanding it in a way to where it's not even about us. Mm-hmm. It's simply about the culture. You know, I was talking to Jay. We did an interview the other day, and we were particularly talking about Divine Nine.
Yeah.
And you know, Jay, you know, he's a Kappa.
And you know what? I just noticed. I was like, oh, my boys are Kappa, baby. I paid for that. My boy can't wait to cross. So he gonna have letters from everybody.
And that's a good thing because, you know what Jay did, he said, Drew, let me just tell you this here. So he would feed me and, okay, because he knows how the Divine Nine operate.
Yeah.
You know, being in his leadership position, you know, not only with the Kappa organization, but just in leadership position as well. So I had to change the way that I would even say what I say to them.
Yeah.
So I am going to say this to them. Listen, when you look at culture and look at being a part of culture and we look at history and we look at legacy, Divine Nine is a part of that. When we look at making America strong, they say, no, not great again, but making and keeping America strong, we have to look at the Divine Nine has a very, very solid foundation, not only in our history, but in our communities as well. So I say to the people that are out there that are part of Divine Nine, you all should definitely take part in this event. Mm-hmm. If you can't do it this year, then you can still donate. And Jay is going to give you the information where you can go online and you can donate to this cause. And now, mind you, now this event is open to the public, the general public. So if anyone out there, they might want to just come out and experience, you know, what happens at a golf tournament. And not only that, but the great golfers that's going to be out there as well. It's actually free to the public. So, but what I'm doing is now I'll challenge the public, the people that are listening, that just basically is going to be probably sitting at home watching golf. Come on out to Pine Hill, the links at Pine Hill on Mallory, and check out this great golf tournament.
And you don't,
You don't have to come out and play. Just come out and have exactly. fun, right?
Exactly.
There's a, you know, I tell people, I don't know nearby to do, but I roll on the card. I get out the put. I'm the fool on the card. I'm just going, I'm having me a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
I told my father, I said, I'm going to stop playing. I'm going to know how to play. I said, because y'all indulge my foolishness, right? I said, I got to find some folk to say, Talisa, stop it here now. Yes. Let's get serious about this game.
Well, Jay explained on yesterday, he explained... he gave us a different way of looking at golf in regards to playing against yourself. And it's like you're in competition with yourself. Really, you're playing against the course, but that's what you're playing against. And so when he was talking yesterday, I was like, man, you know something? I know I might be Tiger Hood out there, but definitely not Tiger Wood.
Right.
But you know, you've got brothers out there that's listening right now that probably think they are Tiger Wood.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the brothers that we want to challenge as well to be a part of it, because I'll let Jay break down to you exactly how the process works on the golf course and how you could even be in competition with yourself in the golf course. Jake.
Share with us.
Well, really,
Apple Man.
Well, I was just telling Drew when he was talking about it. So, you know, you're with a team of four. People think, you know, most people think they're playing against, you know, the other three people. Well, really, you're playing against the course. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Your job is to get that ball in the hole with the fewest amount of strokes, you know, than the other guys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it all depends on everybody's level. You know, the fun thing with ours, the charity event, it's best ball, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, which speeds up the game. So mm-hmm. all four guys are actually swinging, you know, everybody gets a chance to take a shot, but you're playing off the best ball, you know, mm-hmm. until you get the ball into the hole, you know, and par is your friend. If you hadn't gotten there by par, you just pick it up and you go to the next hole. Mm-hmm. That way the game moves, you know, the way it does. And that way, if you're a novice golfer, you get a chance to at least experience it, mm-hmm. you know, and play with some other people. And last year and every year, we get individuals out there who've never played before, and then they get hooked.
Right.
Like, hey, I gotta play in this not only next year, mm-hmm. I wanna play next weekend.
They be trying to battle some clubs.
Yeah. It's been a lot of money on them as well.
Baby, you already know it. So kinda tell us, what's next for this? Once you do this, what's next for your organization?
What we'd like to do, this is year four. So okay. I know one of the things we talked about was trying to make a weekend out of it. Mm. Maybe having a gala where we sit down and we raise funds, you know, that way, and maybe hand out some scholarships, you know what I'm saying, mm. After the event, or maybe, you know, do something, just kind of figuring out how we can kind of build off of it, where it's just mm. not just the golf event every mm-hmm. year, that we're doing other things. You know, this year we'll have like a silent auction, we'll have things out there for that. But yeah, just kind of building off of it and finding other ways that, you know, to raise money, mm-hmm. you know, during the course of the year.
I absolutely love it. And so what you guys got to remember that is happening on this Saturday, and we want to make sure, how can they go ahead and register to be a part?
Okay. Well, you can register online at dempsscholarshipfund.com, all one word together, dempsscholarshipfund.com. If not, you can come out, you know, on Saturday. We're more than welcome to receive individuals that may want to sign up then mm-hmm. on the spot.
So listen, y'all, we got to make sure that we are supporting organizations and individuals that truly have a heart to continue to transform community. And we always want to say, our children are this and our children are that. I always ask, what have you did to contribute to the problem or the success of our children? And maybe you don't have the capacity or the time to commit to our children. This may be a chance where you could just write a check, and that could be a good commitment yes. to our children. Y'all, listen, we can do this together. We've seen so many people that is doing great work. And one thing I loved about when he first started, he was a treasurer. When you find people that are treasurers and leading, you can trust them with your money, so you know that your money is not going to him. Mm-hmm. It's actually going to the organization to help fund our children. Because what I've seen has happened, and people now have gotten discouraged because they've seen they donate the money, but it never touched the people.
Mm. Yeah.
And I always tell people when I do anything, I say, baby, I don't need a job. And, you know, God's good to me. I don't need your money.
Yes.
If I'm doing it, I'm doing it for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And that reason is to see how do we build better capacity, mm. how we build whatever we're trying to build, to see our people go to that next level.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so... Making sure, Drew, I want to make sure I didn't forget anything that we needed to do. Did I forget anything that we need to talk about?
I don't think that you forgot anything. We'll let Jay, because if they want to donate, if they're not able to make it to the park, to the golf course this weekend, they can donate. They can go to their website, and we'll, of course, Jay is going to give them that information again, and we definitely would appreciate your support. And not only that, if you're not there this year, then we would hope that we are here next year and we will be able to plan it again next year and get your golf game up. Yeah. And be prepared to come out and win. Now, mind you, now when you look at all the things that they're going to win, I'll let Jay tell you guys that. But when you talk about Pebble Beach, man, I would just love to go to Pebble Beach.
Well, you got to hit that hole in one.
Yeah.
That's the win for the hole in one. Yeah. Okay. Well,
we've got a $25,000 hole in one. We've got the Pebble Beach hole in one. We've got a 5-day cruise hole in one. We've got another hole in one to win a set of golf clubs. We've got, you know, several silent auction prize is pretty good.
Oh, that ain't just a prize. Yeah. That's a prize. I love it. So did y'all hear that, y'all? Hole in one. So now y'all come on with your best. And let's do this. It'd be a blessing. So you can't even be a blessing to some young people, and you got blessed yourself.
Yes.
That's how the Lord works,
yes.
Right?
That's yes. Right.
The Lord, you can't be God's giving. I don't care how hard.
Come on.
He's a man.
Come on. Don't start church. Don't start church up in here.
Good God Almighty. God, I love you now. Because you know it don't take long for me, right?
I do
once
know that.
It, will come out. In if a order. Cuss in you, you going to cuss.
In that
if
order.
God is in you, you going to show his life.
In that order. Yes.
So, y'all, let's make sure we have two amazing events that's really doing great work for young people is the Joni W. Golden Scholarship. Thank you, Tamara, for just hanging out. I appreciate you so much. And then we have Drew that's here that's doing the work of promoting and making sure that we're getting what we need. And then we have Jay. The good Kappa brother that say he from somewhere else, but he in Memphis now. So we'll play that now. You can't be cheating on Memphis. You got to be with us all the way. We don't want no halfway, brother. I want all the way Memphis, baby. Because there ain't no other place you should go to live other than Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, my wife's in Memphis.
Okay, see, thank God. Yeah. Sister Broucher. See, you know how to follow a woman. You follow your mama and you follow your wife. Steps up, sis. Steps up, sis. Don't let them go nowhere.
And she got him down here in Memphis.
That's right. He ain't going back no more. Don't you go back no more. You can't go back no more. But I'm grateful for what you're doing. I'm grateful for what you're doing, Drew. You're always on the pulse of community. So thank you for leading. Is there anything that you need to say? You can give us our closing words.
Well, I'll just close out. You know, if you can't attend or if you want to register, the website, of course, is www.dempscholarshipfund.com. If not, you know, we look forward to anybody coming out that would like to, you know, register to play. We can receive you, you know, on the day of the event, 7 a.m. registration, 8 a.m. tea time.
Yes.
Pine Hill.
At the links. Pine Hill on Madison. That would be right off
Mallory.
The expressway. Mallory.
Not Madison.
930 Mallory.
My bad.
Mallory,
930
baby.
Mallory in South Memphis, right off the E-Way.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Y'all, listen, I am so grateful to each and every one of you all for hanging out with me to have a talk with Talisa on today. I truly hope and pray that this talk enlightened you, empowered you, and made you say, man, I got to do something more. I got to do more active and really support our community. Know that if you're not following me on all social media outlets, what's wrong with you, boo? What's wrong with you? You're supposed to be following me because y'all know I'm going to give you all the Memphis tea in a positive way, y'all, because I don't know nothing else but positivity. Know that I love you, baby. Absolutely positivity love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Make this day, make this moment, make this second the best ever, and learn how to be the best version of you, because everybody else is already taken. Until next week, y'all be blessed is my prayer for you. And keep it locked right here to WYXR 91.7, where we raise by the sound. Be blessed is my prayer for you.
Feels just the same, and I know why. Baby.
Yo, this is Devin Germain from The Audio Box. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., where I play a lot of recent releases, as well as retro music on occasions, only on WYXR 91.7 FM.
WYXR Memphis.